نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن أهل الكتاب من إن تأمنه بقنطار يؤده إليك ومنهم من إن تأمنه بدينار لا يؤده إليك إلا ما دمت عليه قائما صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, there are probably no words to describe the carnage, the brutality, the pain and the suffering of our brethren, our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza. What we have witnessed is an unprecedented bloodbath where thousands of innocent, helpless, defenseless women, the elderly, children, civilians have been brutally butchered by the Zionist entity. This is the third major offensive in 6 years against the people of Gaza, which lasted approximately 4 weeks. And in the 4 weeks of fighting, the Palestinians or the people of Gaza have lost about 1,875 people in this war. 80% of this 1,875 people is made up of women, children, the aged, and civilians. This third offensive against the people of Gaza has caused over $5 billion of damage in terms of homes destroyed and infrastructure within Gaza. The pain and the agony and the suffering of people who have no medicine, no homes to go back to, no water, no electricity. The images of babies mercilessly butchered begs the question that how could any people, how could any nation lose their humanity to this extent? Where the skulls of an innocent child, a baby, the broken skull of a innocent child evokes sentiments of joy. What kind of people are these that have lost their humanity? Some time ago we discussed the Zionist view regarding the Palestinians, or the Arabs in particular. And in the verse that I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this mentality. And Allah says, وَمِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, and from the people, among the people of the book, referring to both the Christians and the Jews, مَنْ إِنْ تَأْمَنْهُ بِقِنْطَارِ يُؤَدِّهِ إِلَيْكَ. There are people of such integrity, such sense of honesty and justice, that if you were to entrust them biqintar, with a treasure of gold, yu'addihi ilayk, they would return it dutifully to you. But wa minhum, and among them, man intamanhu bi dinar, if you entrust a single coin to them, la yu'addihi ilayk, They feel no moral obligation of returning even a single dinar to you. Illa ma dumta alayhi qa'ima. Except if you stand and persist and demand your right from them. Why this attitude? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَالُوا لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ سَبِيلٌ. That is because they say, we have no moral obligation to these Ummiyin, unlettered Arabs. In other words, the Zionists believe, that the Arabs are less human. They need not be treated on the basis of justice or compassion. And therefore they feel, لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّنَ سَبِيلٌ. We have no moral obligation against these unlettered Arabs. To them, every Palestinian is a potential terrorist. And when they see the broken skull of a little child, they rejoice because they've been brainwashed to such an extent that to them, they see the demise and the death of a terrorist. That is why they've lost their humanity. But there is another face to this war. Another angle to this war, which is not reported in mainstream media. And that is, what impact has this war against the people of Gaza? What impact has this war on the Israelis themselves? And there are several. Firstly, is that the growing success of the BDS campaign. The difference between this war and the previous two onslaughts against the people of Gaza is that it has created a groundswell of support for the people of Gaza. But this has now translated into many countries around the globe calling for disinvestment, for the boycott of Israeli products, and sanctions against the Zionist entity. To the extent that the Israeli finance minister himself says that if we don't make progress with the Palestinians, we will lose the support of the world and our legitimacy. He added that we have formulated complete scenarios as to what will happen if the boycott continues and exports are hurt. In all scenarios, things do not look good. The status quo will hit each of us in the pocket, will hurt every Israeli. We are export orientated. And this export trade depends on our global standing. So the finance minister himself says that this war has impacted on the profile and the standing in the international standing of the Zionist entity. And if this boycott continues to grow, it's going to destabilize occupied Israel. And in the like manner, the justice minister also warned, and he said the boycott is moving and advancing uniformly and exponentially. Those who do not want to see it will end up feeling it. So that's the one aspect of this war that is never mentioned in mainstream media. that there is a growing international move towards applying sanctions, economic sanctions, and disinvestment against the Israeli entity. Secondly, what we've really seen, we have seen pictures of butchered children, of women crying. We've seen the agony etched on the faces of civilians in Gaza, but we've never seen the converse. What has it done to the Israeli soldiers themselves? One of the survivors of the Israeli Golani elite military unit. This was the military unit, this is the elite military unit, that suffered the greatest amount of loss in this war when they came in and attacked the Palestinian Mujahideen in a place called Shuja'iyah. He says that they were in this place called Shuja'iyah, but they were absolutely terrified. And he says, we saw them, referring to the Palestinian Mujahideen. He says, we saw them coming out of the earth. We could not understand how and where they were coming from. They moved like ghosts and emerged from the mouths of tunnels. Our soldiers were screaming, but these people moved without any fatigue. He says, right, and this is the elite unit of the Israeli Defense Force. He said, we could not understand where these Mujahideens kept up coming, propping out from the ground. And in the like manner, the former head of Mossad, who appeared on Israel's Channel 10, argued that the Israeli army was having great difficulty targeting missile launches and pinpointing targets in Gaza. He said, those who fire missiles from Gaza seem to be firing them from their pockets. They leave no trace or clue as to guessing their location. They all operate in the same manner as if they are trained by one person. So no matter how hard we've tried to locate the places from where these missiles are fired into Israel, it is not possible to locate. It almost seems that they're shooting these missiles from their pockets. And a very strange remark by the chief Orthodox rabbi of Israel, and he is the most prominent leader of the religious Jews in Israel. He says that Israel has lost this war. Israel has lost this war. And he asks the question to the defense force. He says, explain to me, tell me, how can one single rocket, from Hamas drive hundreds of people to simply lay down on the ground in the streets, crying and screaming with panic and rushing into the bunkers? Says one, you have the F-16. These people have a toy compared to the F-16. And look at the kind of fear that one missile generates into the hearts of you coward soldiers. So how can you explain this? So, although we've seen one side, one face of this war, The mainstream media haven't reported on the other face and the other side of this war. In terms of casualties, we keep hearing that there were 1,800 civilians who died on the side of the Palestinians in Gaza, and there were around 67 soldiers who died from the Israeli side. But the Panorama Daily quotes the Israeli cabinet as saying that if the Muslims or the Palestinians have lost 1,800 civilians, the Israelis have lost 497 soldiers that were killed in this war. And 879 soldiers were injured, and their injuries range from moderate to critical. 166 troops, Israeli troops, attempted suicide to get away from facing the Mujahideen one-on-one. And 311 soldiers shot themselves in the hope of being exempt from military duty. This is the kind of fear that was generated when the ground forces came into Gaza. Now, what are the often repeated myths regarding the brutal invasion of Gaza? The first one is that the Gaza Strip is occupied by Israel. In other words, we've given this to the Palestinians. They can't live peacefully, and therefore they are instigating a war against the people of Israel. This is what the Boston Globe has to say. Israel imposed buffer zones. These buffer zones now absorb nearly 14% of the Gaza's total land and 48% of their arable land that they could farm on. Similarly, the sea buffer zone covers 85% of sea space, which was promised to the Palestinians in the Oslo Accord, reducing 20 nautical miles to 3 nautical miles. In other words, any person, boat, that moves beyond 3 nautical miles in the sea will be shot down by the Israelis. Israel also continues to control the population registry. In other words, people of Gaza are not free. Israel controls who is born there, issues the birth certificates to them. It maintains exclusive control of the airspace, the territorial waters, and it controls the movement of goods that come in and out. Not only the movement of goods, but the movement of people. So Gaza is one large open-air prison in which 1.8 million people languish there, left to the mercy of the Zionist entity. Another myth that we hear in the mainstream media all the time is that Israel wants peace, but it is Hamas that instigates and wants war. This is what the Jerusalem Post stated. One day after an Egyptian broken ceasefire accepted by Israel but rejected by Hamas fell through, the terrorist organization, referring to Hamas, proposed a 10-year end to hostilities. A 10-year end to hostilities in return for its condition of in return for certain conditions. And these, what were the conditions? Hamas agreed that we will have a 10-year truce provided you fulfill the conditions that you had undertaken to honor long before. We will come to the conditions just now. Another myth is that it is Hamas that is a terrorist group that deliberately targets civilians and not the other way around. The Guardian newspaper says, one of the reporters says, that it was there that the second shell hit the beach when this war started and they killed those three children on the beach. Those firing apparently adjusted their fire to target the fleeing survivors, those three children. As it exploded, the journalists standing by the terrace wall shouted, "They are only children." But by then their lives were gone. The Guardian newspaper says, or the Jeremy Browen, who was recalled from Gaza because of this statement. He says, "I saw no evidence during my week in Gaza of Israel's accusation that Hamas uses Palestinians as human shields." He says this is a total fabrication. And when he made the statement, he was recalled by the BBC from the Gaza Strip. But what does Hamas? Why are the Palestinians in Gaza agitating? What is life like in Palestine, in Gaza? This is reported by the U.S. State Department that says Israeli officials have confirmed to embassy officials on multiple occasions that they intend to keep the Gazan economy functioning at the lowest possible consistent level possible, consistent with avoiding a humanitarian crisis. Israeli officials have confirmed on multiple occasions that they intend to keep the Gazan economy on the brink of collapse without quite pushing it over the edge. The Israeli military made precise calculations of Gaza's daily calorie needs to avoid malnutrition during a blockade imposed on the Palestinian territory. And so Israel allows food, working out what amount of calories are required for survival for 1.8 million people. That's the amount of food they would allow, nothing more than that. So there's a deliberate attempt to gradually strangulate this 1.8 million people. This is nothing short of ethnic cleansing. They want to rid the occupied area of the Palestinians. What is it that the Hamas is asking from Israel? They have six conditions. Firstly, he says opening all the crossings with the Gaza Strip. Right now there's no freedom of movement. Secondly, allow this corridor into the sea under the supervision of the United Nations. That's the second demand. Thirdly, allow residents of the Gaza Strip to pray in the Al-Aqsa Masjid. Fourthly, release all freed prisoners in the Shalit deal, which Israel re-kidnapped after, you know, there was a prisoner exchange. Shalit was one of those Jews that was captured. And in exchange for him, Israel released a certain number of prisoners and later recaptured them. And fifthly, end the Gaza siege immediately. And sixth is rebuild the Gaza International Airport with guarantees that it will not be demolished again. These are the six demands of Hamas. And that is why they rejected the truce earlier on. They can't be left imprisoned in these walls with no water, no electricity, no freedom of movement, no food, and left to the discretion of the enemy. How much of food, how much of electricity, how much of water will we allow into the Gaza Strip? But all said and done, the resilience of the people of Gaza is amazing. Their identity is now carved out by the fearless resistance to the Zionist entity. And one of them has written this poem, which says, "You can break my bones, but my free spirit is invincible. You can cause me the loss of sight. The light of my insight you'll never take away. In the shadows of darkness lies the corpse of your might. You can destroy my house. The window of my hope you can never break. The pillars of my faith you can never shake. You can threaten me with weapons of death and mass destruction, implanting fear in my heart. You cannot achieve, nor can you cut off my divine connection. With a missile, you can tear my body apart. My soul, however, is out of your reach and is forever intact. You can never defeat my will to be, because my power that you cannot explain grows from within the roots of my pain. You depend on the United States for wealth and war supply. My infinite strength stems from my Creator, the One Most High." May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with them, and may Allah turn the tide in favor of the Muslim Ummah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.